You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain.
But you feel it.
You felt it.
You're felt it. Felt it.
The point is to understand yourself. Who you really are. Who you really are. Humans are now hackable and to hack a human being means to understand that human better than he or she understands themselves. Facing enormous challenges, unprecedented challenges.
Welcome to the Spellbreakers Podcast, helping you transcend psyops, mental spells, and even reality itself, with your host, Donnie Spellbreaker.
War. Terrorism. 15-minute cities. Forced vaccinations. mRNA and your vegetables. Digital ID. Making all the frogs gay, and there's nothing you can do about it. Or is there?
Hey guys, it's your boy Donnie Spellbreaker, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Spellbreakers Podcast. So today is going to be a little bit of a bitter pill for a lot of you to swallow. But I promise you that if you're able to handle it, it will be one of the most empowering things of your entire life. Guaranteed. Or your money back. So today we're going to explore the idea that most, if not all, of the tyranny we are currently facing is
your fault.
Well, maybe not you specifically, but the collective you, and me, and all of us. So first, we need to go back in time a little bit, to the good old days, to the best generation, our boomers. Back then, everything was jolly. They tell us the government stood for our rights. Jobs and low-interest loans were available to everybody, and the government looked after its people. Well, at least back in the day, the governments pretended that they were mere humble servants of us, the citizens. Well, if you haven't noticed, that dynamic has changed just a little bit in the last few years or decades. Who knows if it was ever really the case, but one thing's for sure, there's a lot more of a master-slave relationship going on with our, quote, elected officials. Have you noticed that? I've noticed that. So back in the day, though, you could follow more or less what the government was telling you. We lived in a higher trust society. Yes, they might spray DDT on your kids now and again, and you'd probably have to go kick some Korean ass or take down the Nazis now and again. Well, the boomers didn't really do that. It was more their parents, but you get the idea. The society itself was a lot higher trust, and the government and media at least pretended to do a better job in looking after the people. But slowly this eroded, even though the boomers tried to protect us and save us as much as humanly possible, I'm sure. And also, people back in the day had a lot more grit, so they tell us. People were a lot more independent, they grew their own food more, and they were less reliant upon the system. Today, that's just no longer the case, with under 3% of society actually engaged in farming, a vast majority of people dependent on government handouts and subsidies due to stagnant wages. And the government has seemed to put their hands and tendrils in every area of our life, but in return for privileges, for handouts, for entitlements. So our society really has turned from the grit of the holy boomers to an era of the nanny state, where, yes, it's very hard for you to get ahead on your own, but that's okay, because the government is here to save you. every time the government creates a new crisis, it's really just an opportunity for them to show us how much they love us, guys. So welcome to the new normal, the nanny state. So if you haven't noticed, we are living through an era, what is called the everything crisis, which is a period of seemingly endless, world-destroying catastrophes that are all happening at once, that can only be solved if we just eat bugs, pay more taxes, and just generally change the very fabric of our entire society overnight. Both the mainstream and the truthers have us convinced that at any moment there's going to be blood in the streets, and it would be only logical for us to literally run out of our houses, grab our hair, and scream in agonizing panic. And it feels like there is nothing we can do about it. We may be asking ourselves, who am I to fight this? Everybody else is doing it. If I don't do it, I'll be the only one. It feels as though these new normals are set in stone, and regardless of whether or not we play ball, they're going to just steamroll ahead, one way or another. And the truther community perpetuates this thinking. The truthers give the, quote, controllers a lot of power by acting like these people are all-knowing, all-powerful, godlike humans, instead of just a small group of awkward psychopaths of debatable intelligence trying to push as many scams as possible to see what will stick. They talk about the elite's future plans as if they are going to happen or already happening. Well, if they are already happening, there's nothing we can really do about it, right?
Wrong.
There are many things we can do, and there are many times that they have failed. The nature of psychopaths is that they are always overreaching, and they always end up having to tell you what they are going to do. In the occult world, this is called revelation of the method. We will get into this more in later episodes, but essentially, the general idea is that if I tell you what I am going to do to you, and you consent, be it encouragement, celebration, passively go along, or just do nothing at all, the controller sees that as permission to move forward. This is a deeply established maxim in law, as well as in the spiritual world. So this is, in a very basic sense, how the, quote, elites push their plans. Their basic playbook is to just throw as much BS as humanly or inhumanly possible at us, everywhere, all at once, just to see what sticks. For example, do you want to make your kids infertile? Want to take this shot from a company that has been sued dozens of times for medical criminality? Want your kids to fund and die for a war on foreign soil? Nah, just say no, people. It sounds really complex, but it's really not. We need to fall in love with the word no, without being angry, without getting upset, without throwing a temper tantrum. Just plainly say no, thank you. A quick scan of any news outlet, either online or in person, will show you hundreds of micro crises that almost never really come to fruition. Some of these bubble up a little bit and kind of lose steam. One example of this would be the monkeypox, where for a time we were worried that a strange new virus during COVID was going to spread and kill everybody. Then it turned out it was only happening in gay nightclubs, and it dropped off the map more or less as quickly as it came. But when something sticks in a population, it usually doesn't stick everywhere all at once, but in certain areas, there seems to be a bias or a lightness towards accepting a particular agenda or narrative. Once they can see that they get a foothold, they really do lean into it, and they employ every single manipulation tactic in their arsenal to get us to comply. In fact, here in Canada, it came out that they're employing entire teams of psychologists to get people to consent and to comply with their schemes. If you guys aren't aware of some of the basic manipulation tactics, I'd highly recommend looking them up. For example, 101 is just flat out lying. And if you believe them, well, joke's on you. The next would be guilt tripping. Ever had that before? You know, you'll kill grandma, you're killing the polar bear. The next would be flattery. Oh, you're saving the planet by paying our carbon taxes. And moving the goalposts. Have we ever had that before? 2 weeks to slow the spread, then 2 months to flatten the curve, turned into 3 years to run the economy and healthcare system into the ground, make all the billionaires way more rich, and get all of our kids hooked on drugs. So when they decide the new crisis, they always come hard. Eventually, these massive organizations get involved, like the UN or the World Economic Forum, to save us from ourselves, pushing out paper after paper after article telling us how they will save us from doom and destruction that we've all caused due to our inability to follow even basic rules, like not having kids or just dying. All these things are basically employed on us at like a military grade level, right? We all know it. We see the propaganda everywhere from all the talking heads, both in the mainstream and alternative media, but they need our consent. And that is a very powerful and uplifting thing to really understand. If propaganda wasn't necessary, they wouldn't spend billions upon billions of dollars every year to get our consent. They would just do what they want to do, regardless of what we care. So every time you see a fake news story or another mainstream news network that's been operating at a financial loss for 10 years, give yourself a pat on the back. Say, I did that. They care so much about my opinion and worldview that they're willing to fund CNN and Fox News for another year. Thank you. The truthers will act like everything is already set up and ready to go, that your opinion doesn't matter, that they're going to do things anyways. And I know it feels like that, but they really do need our consent to move forward. But what do? They employ sophisticated manipulation techniques to get a majority of a population to consent to their craziness. For example, here in Canada, they have somehow convinced a population living in an Arctic country that produces less than 2% of global emissions that a warming climate is the most existential threat to our civilization. And only through hefty taxation, where we're really not sure where it goes, can we hashtag save the thermometers. And so comes the carbon tax. And we are basically the only country in the world currently paying it, at least at this level, because they somehow got Canadians to just buy in enough to get it through. It only took 3 decades of our celebrities crying about the polar bears to make it happen. Other things like the child transgender movement has taken root in the West. Now, this one is pretty sophisticated in hyper-polarizing, which they always love to do. So on the one hand, you have the argument that people should be free to do whatever they want, and I totally agree with that. And also that all human beings are worthy of dignity and respect, 100%. But where we get into issues is A, fundamentally reordering all concepts of gender that have been established by our species for thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of years, the idea that women have to compete with biological males, and worse off, talking with kids at a young age about really inappropriate subjects. This is a topic I want to bring more nuance to in future episodes. But try pushing stuff like that in Iran or Russia and see how it works out. You'll likely get thrown in jail or worse. In the West, culturally, we really do believe in the rights of the individual to self-actualize. And we are actually highly compassionate as a culture. So this was able to gain a foothold in our society a lot quicker. And most of it isn't even being pushed by trans people themselves, who mostly just want to be left alone. It's being pushed by the media and nameless, faceless international organizations. So for every scheme, it's essentially an offer, an invitation that you can very kindly accept or reject. Now, I know it doesn't feel like it. They would use endless manipulation, fear tactics, and at times physical force. But this is almost never. See, we've moved away from the classical tyrannical dictatorship that you can see all around you. For the most part, all they do is guide people's thoughts and emotions and worldview into their right think. it's almost always just an offer that the majority of the population needs to consent to. Many times they have actually failed pushing through their agendas, and the truther community never really talks about that. They talk as if this is some monolithic, interdimensional aliens that are pushing through all of these policies. And that may be the case, but they're kind of amateur because they've failed a lot. For example, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Act, which among other things would have allowed foreign corporations to sue governments if they impede their profits due to pesky concerns like the environment or poisoning water supplies or things like that. That was scrapped. We never talk about it again. The Amero, they wanted to merge the US, Canada, and Mexico into one union under one currency, just like the European Union. Never happened. You never hear about it again. And in the early 2000s, I don't know if you guys remember about this, they were pushing microchipping your kids so hard that all the truthers thought it was just around the corner. And there are still things to worry about. For example, in Sweden, it's now becoming hip and trendy to microchip yourself. And the digital ID is something that I believe is one of the biggest existential threats to human freedom in the days to come. But as much as they push the microchip, and we all know that's what they want to do to us, people don't really want it, and so they don't really push it that often. It pops its head up now and again, and then straight back down. There are many more examples, and I'd love to hear from you guys about what stands out in your mind, but their plans often get scrapped, delayed, or enacted with only a portion of their overall goals. And what's funny is when they fail, they just pretend like they never tried to do it in the first place. So this is pretty good news on its own. But there's actually a lot more good news. Namely, they make all of their scams so obvious that they are actually incredibly easy to spot and to thoroughly debunk with even a rudimentary logic. In fact, I actually think the fact that they make their schemes so dumb and so obvious is a feature and not a bug. In a way, it's like granting permission. If I get you to fall for something so foolish, you deserve to be oppressed and have given me your consent. Now, I don't buy into that. But psychopaths buy into that, and it seems to be their modus operandi. And there's maybe some truth to that. Let's take the truther's perspective that the entire world is run intentionally by a tiny group of elite families, namely the Rothschilds and others. Well, Rothschild Sr. is long gone. So this empire is being taken on by their billionaire trust fund loser kids. Okay, so imagine you're one of them. You've been tasked with controlling and ruling the world. How would you look at the populations? Well, for starters, you would look at them like animals, cattle to be moved around as you see fit. But then actually look at the world that we're currently in. It only takes a Black Friday for human beings to literally trample over each other. And then more, they run all of these scams that are so easy to debunk. I mean, how would you see us from that perspective? How would you treat people who time and time again after generation fall for the most rudimentary basic lies? You know, someone's got to keep the world running. I don't want that job or task. I just want to be left alone and in a system that isn't totally psychopathic. But somebody needs to man the machines, I guess, and it's these people. So they have to corral us and push these agendas to get us to comply. And how would they get us to comply? Well, very easily based off the general population. For example, let's take the Kennedy assassination. They got the majority of Americans to believe that a lone gunman redirected a motorcade, called off the Secret Service, and fired a magic bullet that went in and out of JFK multiple times in a circular trajectory. Yes, there was skepticism, but the majority bought into the narrative. In 9/11, they got the majority of people all around the world to believe that 19 terrorists in a cave, several of whom were still proven to be alive even days after 9/11, were able to hit the Pentagon and the Twin Towers with zero interference whatsoever. That buildings collapse at free fall speed, even if they weren't hit by planes. And we know who the terrorists were, because their passports flew out of the 80th story of the Twin Towers during the explosion and happened to land in the path of an FBI agent that just happened to be out for a jog. During COVID got even crazier. They convinced people that the virus was lethal enough to wipe out all of humanity, and as such, you had to close down your businesses for 2 years. But in a Walmart, you're totally safe. And that the only way to get back to normal was to take an experimental injection with no long-term safety trials from a company that has been fined tens of billions of dollars for medical crimes. Huh. Seems a little suspicious. Man, I honestly think they're just playing games with us at times. Like, they even named one of the variants Omicron, which is an anagram for moronic, and then the next one, they even called it Ba-Ba. And I'm literally convinced they were just calling people sheep at that point. And can you blame them? People were sucking in this narrative left, right, and center. So the list really goes on and on and on. If you look back at a lot of the past scams, it is just laughable. Now, it would be one thing if all of their schemes were super well orchestrated and only elect few hyper-intelligent geniuses could slowly decode the truth over decades. But they don't. They make it so obvious and so stupid that literally the only way to buy it is to hook people emotionally. Now, if you're one of the people who early on knew from the data that this was a scam, I totally feel you. It was isolating. It was hard to be what felt like the only sane person in the room at a witch trial, and you didn't go along. But congrats. But unfortunately, I believe we are living in a post-law realm, a true democracy, where the quote elites are just sitting back and seeing what we'll put up with. Yes, some rules, laws, and pesky rights are still kind of sometimes partially upheld, but the bulk of policies being rammed through aren't even passed by judiciary or politicians. They're just kind of rammed through or quote adopted as a standard based on general sentiment. I wouldn't be surprised if basically all they do constantly is just throw out AI-generated news stories and sit back and wait. And they use supercomputers to track people's sentiment online and in person in real time. And then the controllers are just constantly pushing their schemes, whether it be on war, trans children craziness, speech laws, and any other psycho stuff, and they just wait to see what sticks and where. For example, in Canada, there was virtually zero pushback on COVID lockdowns until they started having COVID camps. Then people started pushing back, and then the government very quickly closed them and pretended like they never did them, and it was totally wiped from any media mention whatsoever. But in Australia, they actually had full-on camps that you could not escape from for a long period of time. But in other parts of Australia, there was virtually zero lockdowns whatsoever. In America, trans and kids is pushed as compassionate. In Canada, it's illegal not to transition your child, but in places like Russia, China, or Muslim countries, it's a crime. It will never happen. So I know often it can feel like it's too late. These policies are already in place, and there's nothing we can really do about it. But all of this can be reversed. If there's one thing I know, the people behind the scenes are actually really huge cowards. They use emotional manipulation to make you think you're crazy, to make you think you're the only one, that everyone else is doing it, why not me? You know, do you want to kill the polar bears? Are you evil? Are you insane? And this is all done to get us to consent to insanity that almost all of us know is insane. But as soon as these people receive pushback in large numbers, and when the general consciousness of people simply states, no thanks, the game is always up. Then they ask for amnesty, or just pretend it never happened at all. So what can we do? Well, for starters, instead of getting mad, spending hours a day giving your energy to social media rage farms, just say something with me. No thanks. Let it permeate your being. Literally be the no. No anger, no fighting, no resistance required. Just no. And I know this is hard. The majority of people don't really see the schemes and scams that are going on, but the more you fight, the more you become angry, the then they use that as a duality to pit the antis versus the pros. You literally just have to be like the Amish and be like, nah, not going to do that. When you start from this position, you are in a place of power. If you believe they've already won, and the only thing you can do is to fight them or to resist, you've already lost. Just say no. Now, I'm very sympathetic to people who were coerced into getting the jab just to keep their job. They felt alone. They felt like they didn't have a choice, and that they were scared that they couldn't provide for their families. It was very evil stuff. But the truth is that they were in the majority position at the beginning of the rollout. 60% of Canadians, for example, were really afraid and skeptical of the vaccine until it was hyper-pushed, and they created this narrative in almost every country at the beginning of the pandemic that rich people were sneaking around and cutting the line to get the vaccines, which triggers your primal urge that, oh, if rich people are doing it, I should do it. And in America, all of the left called it the Trump vaccine. So they were highly skeptical at first, and then it became the Fauci vaccine, and it was praised as a medical miracle. Look it up. Look up COVID vaccine miracle. There is literally hundreds of articles calling it a medical miracle. Pretty funny stuff. Now, the vocal naysayers were manipulated to think they were a small fringe minority and everybody else except me is doing it. But if people just then and there had just publicly said no thanks, it would have been done and dusted, and governments would have backed up and pretended like nothing had happened. So I never think we should go down the doomer fear type path. That's where they want us to be, and that's how they can control us, is through being afraid. And one thing a lot of the truthers and doomers won't say or admit is it is not our system. At least that's the way I look at it, and it's a very empowering thing to accept. I don't have a right to all of these things. I don't want entitlements. I literally just want to be left alone. All of the modern comforts and conveniences are privileges. They're comforts, you know, and they can be taken away from us, right? They're going more from comforts to leverage that they're using against us. So this is something to really keep in mind, that you're not really owed anything, and that it's up to you to be as independent as possible. But we may get to a point, either temporary or permanent, where people in mass will keep drinking this Kool-Aid. I hope that it's not the case, and it does seem like more and more people are waking up. But honestly, all bets are kind of off at this point. So it's very important to hedge your bets and become unfireable and ungovernable. If you're in a high-demand job, you hold way more cards than you think. There is a chronic shortage of skilled workers and laborers, and you have way more bargaining chips than you believe. For example, during COVID, I saw dozens of stories where companies were enforcing the mandates, and then everybody at the company just said, no thank you, bye. They all got a call back that night, and everything went back to normal like it never happened. But if you think you work for a company that will try to push the next thing on you, I'd plan your exit. Start your own business, or at least a little side hustle, to have some protection should things go awry. The next is grow your own food. This is super important for many reasons. For starters, I don't know about you, but more and more when I buy store-bought meat and other foods, something just seems off and sketchy about it. Do you guys notice that? Also, the food you grow is way more badass, it's cheaper, and it's amazing fun to do. I know this isn't feasible for everybody, but you can start somewhere. You can grow microgreens on your counter or herbs in your window, and also network with local farmers and become their friends. And you can even negotiate a subscription service where you pay in advance and they deliver boxes of produce to your door every week or every month. Also, start exploring alternative payment, media, and information sources. There really is a renaissance happening right now with alternative platforms, all of that. So get out there, hedge your bets. Get to the point where you have the option to be as independent as possible. This will give you the confidence you have to be able to say no quickly and strongly. But most importantly, just say no early and as often as possible. And thanks for tuning in, guys. So yeah, the main takeaways really is to be self-sufficient, to realize that most of the things that they push on us are just offers, and that we have a lot more power than they think. Thanks for tuning in again, and let me know what you guys think. Cheers.